One of the treasures of Florida's panhandle is the Apalachicola River, flowing from Lake Seminole on the Georgia border, 106 miles south to the Gulf. It's one of the six most biologically diverse regions in the country, and the river is the subject of a new book telling the stories of those who have grown up along its banks.
I was afraid that if I would go in and put a mic in people's faces and I didn't know anything about the region and I hadn't lived there, that they wouldn't talk to me. But they were more eager than ever just to let me know what a treasure this was to them.
Faith Ides is public information specialist at the Northwest Florida Water Management District. 5 years ago, she and her colleagues set out to collect personal reminiscences from people for whom the Apalachicola River has meant both home and livelihood. They wanted to document the rich history of the region and gather stories of longtime residents telling how dredging, damming, and other man-made changes have affected the river, its environment, and the economy of the entire area.
When the scientists and the resource managers get out on the river, all kinds of questions arise. What was this river like before the cut-throughs were made, before the dredge piles were thrown up on the banks? What was this river once like? How can we restore it to what it wants to be? Apparently it's been dredged for a navigation canal, but it wants to be a river.
The Apalachicola begins far to the north as a mountain stream dammed to form Lake Lanier, supplying water to Atlanta. It becomes the Chattahoochee, forming the boundary between Georgia and Alabama, then joins with the Flint to empty into Lake Seminole behind the Jim Woodruff Dam, built in 1957. Before the dams were built, steamboats plied the river from Columbus, Georgia to Apalachicola. Interviewed shortly before his death at age 93, Captain Tom Corley, the last licensed steamboat pilot, told of starting out as a captain's boy.
That was my first trip, and I remember I went into Apalachicola. I was working.
The steamboat stopped at every pig trail, is how they put it, to pick up produce, the things that people were growing in their fields and the cotton bales and so on. Like Mississippi steamboats, they had a very shallow draft, they had a wheel. They would go all the way down to Apalachicola and back probably once or twice a week. It would take them several days to do that whole journey.
The oral histories tell of vanished livelihoods once supported by the Apalachicola, sharecropping, timber and turpentining, as well as other industries like Tupelo honey. Fishermen and shrimpers, long considered the backbone of the economy, have been hit hardest by the ongoing water wars between Georgia and Florida.
The fact is that the historic flows have not been restored to that river, and during the drought of 1999 and 2000, we had big oyster beds dying because there was so much water kept back upriver. Florida's seafood really suffered.
The book also explores the history of the Apalachicola Basin through the memories of folks like Chief Andrew Ramsey, descended from an unbroken line of Creek Indian chiefs dating back to the time of Andrew Jackson.
See, all my great uncles were killed in Sweetwater Creek over in Liberty County. My grandfather was the only one that died a natural death. That was time of war, you know.
He is both Miccosukee and Creek in that his grandmother actually came from the people that were routed by Andrew Jackson and his Native American allies. So he's descended from two different warring tribes, which makes him a very interesting person.
Because the river served as a two-way street for cotton and other agriculture coming south from Georgia and Alabama, as well as imported goods from New England and even Europe going north, the people of the Apalachicola have been set apart from the deep south all around them. According to historian William Rogers, author of three books on the region, including At the Water's Edge.
It was distinctly a cosmopolitan area. Merchants, shippers, and later fishermen and oystermen and all of that. It was a very tolerant society, not a closed society like it was in most of the South. You had a different type of people with a different outlook. They were entrepreneurial, many of them. They were speculators in land. They early got on into the timber industry. There was this tolerant attitude in religion, in life, in their fierce independence. That's the only place I've ever been where everybody who lived there was a character and an individual and proud of it, outspoken in defense of their rights. There was a very admirable independent spirit among the people.
Perhaps this spirit accounts for the devotion of the river dwellers to their ancestral homes.
I think the biggest surprise was what people had survived. You had people that were making their living by logging or turpentining. They had to work very hard, and yet they stayed on at the river because I would say that they were just so bonded to the river. They stayed there even through the Depression as they were eking out a living. Many of the livelihoods along this river are repeated on many other rivers in Florida. And if you want to know anything about the history of Florida, this is it.
Writer Faith Ides. Her book is Voices of the Apalachicola, published by University Press. I'm Bill Dudley. With funding from the Florida Department of State Division of Cultural Affairs, this report was produced by the Florida Humanities Council. Visit us on the web at flahum.org.
Here's this week's casting call. I'm Dave Glarum. The Moscow Ballet will hold auditions on Sunday at 10:30 for children ages 8 and up for parts in the Great Russian Nutcracker in Daytona Beach. Children perform with the professional dancers from the Moscow Ballet. Florida Children's Repertory Theater will hold auditions this Sunday and next Sunday for a musical adaptation of The Snow Queen. Auditions begin at 1 p.m. at the main Orange County Public Library. The Sands Theater Center announces auditions for the First Land Theater Festival on Sunday and Monday, and for musical auditions only next Sunday, October 29th. The Little Theater of New Smyrna Beach is casting the popular Christmas Story on October 29th and 30th. A copy of the script is at the New Smyrna Beach Library. Details for these and other opportunities can be found at the Arts Connection pages of WMFE.org. Just follow the link for the casting call. For the Arts Connection, I'm Dave Clarum.
That's our program for this Friday night, October 20th. Stay tuned for a special presentation of Florida Voices. And tune in tomorrow afternoon at noon for a full hour on the Arts Connection, which will include season previews and highlights of this week's Arts Calendar. I'm Becky Morgan. Thanks for listening.